I see Coach Dan's late again on the Skype. Mm-hmm. Gotta remind the guy, oh, too busy. Too busy for what the puck? Oh my goodness. I have so much going on. I'm Coach Dan, me. Oh, look who's deciding to show up now. He's got a green check mark next to his name. See how long it takes for him to call me, Coach. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Not too bad. How you doing?
I'm good. I was just recording and bad mouthing you at the same time.
What a dick.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome, all you Caps fans out there. What is going on? Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. How's everybody doing? Thank you for listening on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me as always, we got my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. The Capitals looking fairly well. They've had a weird week since we've talked last, so let's jump right into it. We were talking a little bit off air about the Blue Jackets game that happened last Thursday. Big story there is Jason Chimera, a guy that you were spotlighting last week, and how his play has really gone down, and he takes a penalty towards the end of the game, and then here we go, and it ends up in overtime with a Caps loss. So the next game he's scratched. So what do you think this is doing to Jason Chimera's head? Do you think that scratching him was the right choice? Do you think going forward he's going to be a staple on this team?
I think he was upset, and I think he even came out and said that he was upset, and that not that he was scratched in the way that he had played, and I think he took the sort of punishment like he should, and there wasn't any big issue, and he was back in the next game and played relatively well. So I think, I'm not making a big deal out of it. I think that Trotz did the right thing in benching him. I think that his play this season has not been where it needs to be, especially not for a guy that has a cap hit of like $2 million. And so he's definitely got to be playing better, and he shouldn't be on the fourth line. If you have that kind of cap hit, so that's definitely a problem going forward for this team in terms of their salary cap space. And they haven't signed their next season, so they definitely have to make a decision to what they're going to do with Jason Chimera going forward. I don't see him as a part of this team going forward. I think that he can be moved out, and you can replace him on the fourth line easily with someone like Lotta, who's already playing, or Beagle, or if you want to bring up someone, you can bring up Chris Brown, or you can actually play Burakovsky and put Lotta and Beagle on the outsides. I mean, it's not going to matter at that point if you bump one of the guys out from the center spot. You're just going to get another center in there anyways. So I think at this point, Chimera's just making too much money. He's getting up there in age a little bit, and I think it's sort of a point where if he's going to keep making mistakes like this, and I hope he doesn't, but if he's going to keep making mistakes like this, then I think he's going to find himself up in the press box or wearing a new jersey soon.
Do you think that he can kind of bounce back then from what he's been struggling with this season?
I mean, he can't do much. Well, he could do a lot worse, but he can't do that much worse in terms of his play compared to what he did. I mean, it was such a dumb penalty that ended up costing him that game. To take an interference penalty when the puck is nowhere near there, which is completely unnecessary. It was stupid. Yes, I think he can bounce back from it, but he's going to have to work hard to get there because, he's not playing smart right now, and he's not doing enough to help this team win.
And here's the thing that I was kind of thinking about with Jason Chimera and the way that he's playing. It seems as if him and Joel Ward were on fire last year. They were doing really
well.
They
were a hell of a pairing last season.
Yeah, and it seems as if that has kind of died down in this new system with Barry Trotz. Do you think that splitting them up could have been affecting Chimera's game, or do you think that...
Nah, because he was playing like crap before he got bumped off the third line.
So what do you think it is about this year? Is it the Barry Trotz system? Is he just not getting... Does he still need time to get used to it, or is his head not in the game? What do you think it could be about Chimera this season? Because he's been pretty consistent up until this season.
He sucks. No, I'm just kidding. that was me. No, I think that sometimes... How old is Chimera? Hold on, let's look this up real quick. Because, you know, sometimes in a player's career, they just get to a point where they start to regress. It's just a natural order of things. Your body slows down a little bit as you get – he's 35, so, I mean, it's not that old in terms of just being a human being. But in the sports world, you know, he's getting to that point in the twilight of his career, and it could be a point where he's just going to start – he's reacting slower. He still seems to be fast as hell, but he can't score to save his life. So maybe it's sort of his body's not what it used to be, and he still takes a good amount of hits. He still gives a good amount of hits. As we saw in the game against Columbus where he hit the guy for an interference penalty. So, you know, I think maybe it's just a point where Chimera's career is starting to wind down a little bit, and maybe the Caps are seeing that.
All right, well, going forward here, let's continue to talk about what happened this past week. The Capitals also met with two teams from Florida, the Lightning and the Panthers. On Saturday night, they were up against the Lightning, and the Capitals looked pretty good. I got to say, the Lightning are a team that they're leading the Atlantic Division. I was very impressed with what they were able to do up against the Lightning. It's a team that's kind of given them a lot of grief in the past, but that was a big night for Nicky Backstrom. Nicky Backstrom coming out with his first
hat-trick.
First hat-trick in the regular season. I got to be pretty – he's got to be pretty happy about that.
Well, yeah. You see how they put all the hats in his locker?
I did see that. Yeah. There was a Santa hat in there, too. How did somebody get enough air to throw that thing onto the ice? Those things are
maybe
pretty light.
Weigh it down a little bit. Maybe put a couple pucks or something up in there. But I thought it was interesting that they were able to beat Tampa twice. Both in Tampa Bay and whatever their arena is called now, and again at Verizon Center. I thought that was pretty interesting. It's weird to see that they struggle against a team like Columbus and Florida where they lose both those games, but they're able to go out and beat Tampa, and pretty dominantly to some extent. So it's this team sort of a chuckle and hide to a little bit. But yeah, they played very well against Tampa. Backstrom lit it up, and it was good to see, and you know, hopefully it's a start of some more goals for him.
Did you see the hats that were in there, by the way? Like, somebody threw a brand new Winter Classic hat. Those things are like $40 a pop.
I think you can get them back after the game.
Not if they're in his locker.
Well, no, I mean, maybe not right after the game, but like, don't they all go to like customer service and you can like claim them or something?
You gotta like dig through them and everything, but hell, man, I don't know if
I don't know if they like let you. You have to like tell them the hat. Maybe you just put your name on the hat beforehand or something.
Yeah, like, what do you like? Oh, I threw a hat on there, and then you just kind of take one randomly. Like, I'd be scared to throw my hat on the ice.
Well, I put my name on it, and maybe like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it works, but I think that makes sense if like you put your name on the hat, and then, you know, when you throw it on the ice, you can later claim it.
I don't know what they do, but I wouldn't be throwing my hat on the ice, man. Those things are expensive. I'm not a rich guy. I can't be throwing hats away left and right. What you were saying, how the Capitals lost to the Blue Jackets, lost to the Panthers, but beat a team like the Lightning. I was talking about this on the call earlier this week with my buddy Josh. You can listen to that on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or the Baltimore Sports Report Network. By the way. We were talking about the fact that the Ravens were having a really hard time against Jacksonville this past Sunday, and how it seems as if the Ravens kind of play to the level of their team. So if the team is like a 2-11 team like Jacksonville, the Ravens play like a 2-11 team. Do you think that the Capitals are kind of guilty of that type of playing down or up to whatever level their opponent is? Do you think that's why they struggle against teams that they've beaten a lot in the past, like the Panthers, but then can beat the Lightning, which is leading the Atlantic Division?
I don't know. I don't know so much about that one just because this team isn't really like – they haven't shown that they can beat the good teams just yet. I think Tampa Bay, they definitely were able to go out and dominate, and I hope this will start off something good. But it's – I don't think they're at that point yet where they're a good enough team that you can say, well, they can go out and play better than most teams. It's not quite there yet, and they're just playing down to their opponent or anything like that. If anything, some teams may be playing down to them in certain games. I think right now they're just sort of a Jekyll and Hyde as they're still trying to sort of identify themselves and learn more about Trotz's system and how to play in it. But they're doing better. I mean, this past week was, what, 1-0-2, so it's not the best of record, but they're still doing well. I think right now, if the playoffs started today, they'd be on the outside looking in, but they're definitely right in the hunt right now. So, they go on a little bit of a run at any point, and things start to look a lot better. So I'm less concerned now than I was earlier in the season.
You know, it's weird with this team because we're saying they're Jekyll and Hyde, and we've been saying that for years now. When are they getting out of this Jekyll and Hyde mentality? Because, like, they were like that with, you know, Adam Oates. They were somewhat like that with Dale Hunter. Now they're like that with Barry Trotz. Like, I want a consistent team here, and I just don't know if the Capitals are capable of that. It seems as if they're always trying to find an identity. Maybe it is because they do have coaches coming in and out so frequently.
No, see, this is why I think that there's going to be a trade pretty soon. See, it may be if someone of notable stature here with the Capitals because, like you said, the coaches are constantly changed and they change the general manager, yet some of the problems still exist. So I got to think that it's the players. Some of the players are just not mentally there or not mentally strong enough to be able to handle these situations, and that someone that is causing some of these problems may need to find himself on his way out soon. And so that's why I think that McClellan's going to look at this roster, and there was word that he was not very pleased with the way things are going and was looking to make a couple of trades or at least one trade in the near future. So I would not be surprised to see them make a move before the – what is it? Like the holiday trade freeze or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or shortly thereafter to see if they decide to move somebody out because things are not working at the moment very well. I mean, they are working to some extent, but that whole Jekyll and Hyde thing and the – you know, when we score, let someone else score again right afterwards, or, you know, someone scores and they just go down on themselves. These problems are still there. So if it's not the coaches, and I don't think it is anymore, I think it's the players, someone's going to get moved out.
So at this point, who do you move out? Who has value? Because if you do try to ship out someone like Jason Chimer, it can't be.
He has value to a team that's looking for someone that's a heart and soul kind of guy. I don't think Chimera is the problem necessarily. And you can move him out, especially because he's only got a year left at $2 million. You could find a team that wants to keep a veteran guy around for a year or two while they're rebuilding, like someone like Edmonton potentially. You're not going to get a lot for him, but you can get rid of that salary cap. And maybe either you can be part of a package or you can get like a low-level draft pick in that case just to free up some salary cap space. And then you can have an opportunity for a guy like Chris Brown to come up and play with the Caps on a more consistent basis. And then, or if you want to move on someone of more notable stature, my guess would be Mike Green.
So you still think Mike Green could be a potential here?
I don't want him necessarily to be traded, but I think with his cap situation as it is and his injury situation as it is, I think it's very likely that he's going to be the one moved out. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. So if they don't sign him to a new contract before July 1st or 5th or whenever it is, it's somewhere in there, he could be gone for nothing. So why not move him out and get something in return? And there's been reports of teams that are sniffing around to see if Mike Green will become available. And I think in the past you don't have anybody to fill in for him, but now you do. You have Matt Niskanen in there. You have eventually Dmitry Orlov supposedly coming back at some point sooner than you have a couple of guys in the minors. You have Nate Schmidt who's playing well, and I think that Hillen, he's okay. You know, Hillen, he's not bad. He's kind of nice when he's there. He plays solidly enough defensively. He can't shoot to save his life, but you know he's there. Yeah. And the thing is, you can also acquire a defenseman in moving out Mike Green. If there's a team that you know, maybe there's another team that's in the same situation where they feel like, you know what, we have this guy, but he's not doing it for us. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. We move him out. We'll bring in Mike Green. You know, maybe you have a guy who comes in. He's more of a defensive defenseman that can play. Either way, the point is you're going to get something from Mike Green because he is I think he's a hot commodity in the NHL. He's a puck-moving defenseman who can score goals. He's relatively halfway decently solid defensively, but he's a good player. The problem is he makes a lot of money. I mean, his cap hit is just over $6 million. So if you move him out and bring in a guy who costs less and you move out Chimera and Erskine, it's a lot of cap money. You just freed up to be able to go out and make a bigger move.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what they do. I don't know if Mike Green is going to get traded, you know, before.
Who do you move out?
Well, like, I'm just saying, like, I can see Mike Green moving, but I don't see him moving until Dmitry Orlov comes back. I feel as if they're going to have, you know, because you can't.
Well, he may be moving to injured reserve with his luck.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance of that happening, but, like, how do you move a guy like Nate Schmidt down to Hershey when he's playing so well? I mean, Nate Schmidt is really, like, for his age, is a great.
Are you talking about Nate Schmidt didn't get sent down?
No, I'm saying when Orlov comes back, how do you send Nate Schmidt down with the way that he's playing?
Oh, no, they're not going to. My guess is Orlov. Well, first, Orlov's going to have to go play. They're probably going to play a couple of games in Hershey, and then we'll see where we go from there. I think at that point, Orlov and Schmidt might be rotating, or some other guys might be rotating in and out. Orlov may be, you know, doing a little bit more watching or something like that. But I would not be surprised to see someone on the defensive pairings. Orlov could be the guy you move out. He has a lot of value.
Yeah, he does. But like,
not a lot of salary cap.
No,
$2 million. That's not bad.
Yeah, so if Orlov comes back before the trade deadline, then I can see them taking Mike Green and kind of shopping him around. If you're trying to get rid of somebody on the offensive side, I would think that you would try to get rid of someone like Marcus Johansson, who, even though he is playing extremely well this season and really is opening up his game a little bit more than just passing.
Goals lately, though. Yeah, Johansson started great, and then his goals have sort of dipped off a little bit, but he looks so confident out there, and at least there's that, because he always looked hesitant in the past. But he's definitely looking better lately, and I think you're right. Johansson could definitely be moved and get something of a halfway decent value.
Yeah, Johansson could go, and I could even see a guy like Troy Brouwer going, or Brooks Like, depending on how much money you want to get rid of. One of those guys.
That's a lot of salary cap. You just freed up. The team's got a ton of room now.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying let them all go. I'm saying, like, those are options. I can see them.
Did you see – this is on the same subject. Did you see Dave – from Sticks and Stripes article or whatever the website's called, from his article about Taylor Hall?
No, I haven't seen it.
He posted it earlier today, and I had a chance to read over it really quickly. And he said, there are reports that Taylor Hall up in Edmonton is not doing so well in terms of – the team is not very fond of him at the moment. Apparently he's a kind of a guy who it doesn't have the mentality to be there all the time when he's off the ice. So he's suggesting the Capitals go out and make a move for him. Really? And they can move out. I think it was Johansson. It was Johansson, Grubauer, Bowie, and I want to say and Alzner for Taylor Hall. And I was like, well, yeah, Hall will definitely improve the team offensively, but that's way too much to give up for him.
Yeah, that's like.
But I could definitely see a move like that where they could go out and potentially acquire a second line player to replace someone like Marcus Johansson. That's way too much to give up for Taylor Hall. And the other question is, why do you want to bring in a guy who has problems off the ice, you know, mentally, when you have all these other guys that apparently have the same confidence problems?
If you're going to bring in somebody who's got problems. Mentally problems off the ice, you bring in a guy like Patrick Kane. That's what you do. I've been talking about that for years.
No, you don't bring in a
douchebag. he'll never, ever leave Chicago. So that's null and void there. But I can still dream. There's plenty of movement these guys can make to make this team better. I don't think this team's going to get better internally. I definitely think it's going to be bringing somebody from a different system in here to work with these guys, because like this team is very mediocre right now. They are, you know, where they are in the standings
is
pretty
better than mediocre. They're halfway decent. I mean, they're a good team. They're what, third in the Atlantic right now? That's not their division. That's what it should be called. The Metropolitan,
yeah.
So stupid. Are they third right now still? After last night's game?
I'm not positive.
No, they're tied with the Rangers for third, but they've had one more game played, so the Rangers are technically, I guess, in third with 34 points. I mean, they're 14-10-6 on the season. Not terrible, but not great. They're technically under 500 if you just do wins and losses. So that would be 14-16. But they're all right. They've definitely got room to grow. But they're what, 10 points back on Pittsburgh. That's not great. But they definitely have an opportunity to move in, especially since half of Pittsburgh team is apparently out with the mumps right now.
Yeah, big mumps.
Did you see Crosby's face?
Yeah, I did.
Holy crap! It looks like he got the crap beat out of him. It's ridiculous. But anyways, I mean, they're definitely in the race to some extent for the playoffs. They got to keep going. They're right in there. They're 6 points up on Columbus, who's right behind them, and Jersey. And then there's Philadelphia. They're 7 points up. And then Carolina is – who cares? So they definitely have an opportunity to keep going, but they got to start playing a little bit better. And I really would not be surprised to see a trade made. Maybe they'll wait till after the Winter Classic, but there could be a trade coming relatively soon.
And we'll see what happens. And let's talk about the Panthers game to kind of finish up Cap's role here. What a crazy shootout the Capitals and the Panthers
that
went
was
to.
Ridiculous.
They went to 20 rounds. It kind of made everybody come in late to the Epic show. Capitals at least made some NHL history last night, and they went 20 rounds in this shootout. I didn't think it was ever going to end.
I almost want to kind of blame Braden Holtby, but like you don't, because he played so well. But like, how is it every time the Caps score, dude couldn't make a save? Like, how many times was it, like 6 or 7 times where the Caps would score a goal and all Holtby had to do was make a save and he didn't? It was so frustrating. But then there's so many guys that should have scored that didn't. And like, I like Alzner, how he just went up at the end. Where he was like round 19. He was like, ah, screw it. Or was it 18? He was like, meh, and just like took a slap shot. Like, did not care. Orpik had a nice goal. Some of the other guys had some nice ones. Orpik actually had a move. That was just ridiculous. But of course they ended up losing. And you see that they're reporting on Twitter that it was reported in on NBC Nightly News had like a 20-second segment on it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Of course they would do that when the Caps lost. But it was very silly. It was intense though. I mean, I'm not a fan of the shootouts, but that was intense.
That was like U.S. versus Russia in Sochi.
Oh my God, that was also crazy.
Yeah, that was very crazy. So, it was weird. Like I thought it was funny. After round 18, the refs kind of stopped everybody because they weren't sure what to do next.
Like, do you know what we do next? The goalies are next. I want to see the Holpe go down.
The goalies were to go up against each other, I would be so happy. I would watch every shootout if that happened.
I mean, that was insane. And the fact it just kept going. It was just, the fact that like they just could not make a save when they would score. Like the Caps would score and then Holpe would let the other team score. It was not let. That's not quite accurate. But you know, it was incredibly frustrating sometimes for the fact that you're just like, come on, man.
Yeah, that was very funny. But speaking of epics, it premiered. I watched it on my Roku box. Did you get a chance to see any of it?
No, not yet. I have to find a way to watch it because I don't have epics.
Yeah, I signed up for the NHL free trial of Epics. I have it on my Roku box. I finished the episode on my iPad because about 10 minutes into the show last night, the screen froze, but the audio kept going. So I was like, this is a weird choice to freeze everything going on and only hear audio, but okay. And then I realized after about 2 minutes that wasn't supposed to happen, so I turned it off, and then I watched the season finale of the Newsroom.
This is interesting editing choice.
Yeah, so I watched the season finale of the Newsroom instead, and then...
No spoilers, I haven't watched it yet.
Sorry, but then I watched it on my iPad at work today at lunch. It's definitely, as somebody who works in TV and grew up and loves TV, it's definitely missing some drama here, because I feel as if...
Because the two teams have no hostility towards each other whatsoever.
Yeah, there's none of that, which made
Patrick
the...
Patrick Kane, the taxi will get some hostility, but that'll be nothing.
But, like, the Caps-Penguins was so good because there was that story. It feels like there's no drama for this. There were some bits of brilliance in there. I loved the segment of Trotz at the zoo with his wife and son. I love the Joel Ward, Jason Chimera stuff that happened in the locker room. And I love the Michael Lotta, Tom Wilson stuff. And let me just tell you, when I grow up, I want to be Tom Wilson, because that dude has got, an amazing apartment. He's got it looks like the comfiest couch in the world. He's got a ping pong / dinner table, which I thought was funny. But the dude is living it up. 19 years old, and he's traveling the world with the Cavs playing hockey. What a cool way to live. But like, it feels as if they were just using that stuff to get to game from games to games. When in HBO 24/7, the games were a big part of the show, but they were like linking.
That was like secondary to the behind the scenes. And maybe that's part of the problem. Didn't the NHL not want to work with HBO anymore because the NHL wanted like final edit?
Yeah, they wanted like final cut.
And HBO said no. Or something like that. So the NHL then went with somebody else, and it was like, maybe that's part of the problem, is the NHL wants to focus more on the games than the behind-the-scenes stuff, which is kind of lame.
But you see, like, the thing that got me was, we were talking about the Jason Chimera penalty at the end of the game against Columbus, and they showed that in the show, and I'm like, why are they staying on this so much? I've seen this. I've seen this shot of Jason Chimera sitting in the penalty box at the end of the game, not getting up. I've seen that. Like, why are you not showing me? I want to show, like... Show me Jason Chimera specifically what he did in the locker room after that penalty. Like,
a lot of cursing, probably.
Yeah, and it's on Epics. There's no FCC on like internet TV. So
no, I'm just saying, he's probably cursing a lot.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to see. I want to see the locker room stuff. I want to see these guys get angry. I want to see them interacting with each other. I watch the games. I'm a hockey fan. I watch the games, so I've seen all that before. You don't need to show me that again. And I feel as if that's what's missing from this show so far, given it was only the first episode on a new network under a new name. But that's what I felt it was missing. It lacked the people at HBO knew how to tell a good story. the people at Epix are very good at filming. Some of the footage is really awesome. The GoPro stuff is really cool. They do some great, great wide shots and cool GoPro stuff, and I really dug that. But telling a story, though, I feel as if they're lacking, and they need to get, you know, up to snuff of like a place like HBO if you want it to be compelling and good.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it yet, so I haven't had an opportunity to make my own opinions, but I have not heard great things in terms of the overall aspects of it. I'm sure it looks nice and everything, but who did the narrating? Was it Jack Bauer?
It was somebody, some guy. I don't know.
Some guy. Very
who
very
is
helpful.
Trying to be dramatic and tell you that there are many roads that hockey players go down.
Yeah, because they live in different houses and take different ways to get to the arena.
Here they are in buses driving down the road. That's what players have to do in the hockey world. Hockey's fun, isn't it, guys?
Not any other sport anywhere or regular people take a bus.
Yeah.
Why not? I suppose. Those guys are dumb. No, I mean, you know, whatever. I don't care.
I don't know. I'm sure this is low budget since it's on Epix, but I feel as if there's got to be like Vince Vaughn or somebody who already is a fan of one of these teams.
He's a Chicago fan, man. You don't have him on there. He's gonna be all favorite towards them.
But like somebody who is like a hockey fan,
get Pat Sajak.
Could do like the voiceover work. Like somebody who is invested in this sport could have done it. Like the dude from Justified and
Timothy Olyphant.
Yes, like he.
He'd be great.
He's a huge sports fan. He would sound great on there.
That's an awesome show.
I've never seen it. I liked him in
What the hell?
I liked him in Scream 2, though. That's how I know him.
That was good.
That was a great movie. I don't care what anyone says.
That was a good movie.
And he was also in Go, which is kind of a Christmas movie. Have you ever seen Go?
That's a reach. God, long time ago. Long time, I didn't see the whole thing.
So it's back. That was 99, I think, is that when that came out. So.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I'm old. Anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
I'm older than you.
Are you older than me?
What year were you born?
85.
Yeah, I'm older than you.
Yeah. Finally, the youngest guy in the room. Excuse, the only guy in the room. Whatever.
Different rooms.
So,
moving on. Show going off the rails.
Anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
We already talked about Burakovsky not going to World Juniors.
Oh, we have not talked about
that. Yes, Burakovsky is not going to the World Juniors. Apparently the Capitals have come out. Do we have anything official on that?
Not that I know of.
I feel like we just had like news reports saying that was going to happen. You know, it might have been, I think Monday they were saying officially that Burakovsky will not be going to the World Juniors, which I think if he's not playing, I think it's a mistake. You let him go and you play. I get that he can learn a lot by sitting in the press box, but why not let the guy go and actually, like, you know, play?
Well, if you're going to have him sit in the press box, let him go down to Hershey and play at that level if you want him to learn, you know, the U.S. stuff. So that was one cool thing that I did like about Epix. You haven't seen this yet, but Trotz comes up to Burakovsky before one of the games and goes, hey, just want to let you know, I'm going with the same lines tonight. He's like, look, you're a young guy. He's like, there's a lot of men out here. He's like, you're a young man, but you're kind of like a boy. And you've still got some world, you know, some junior stuff you got to work out. And you're great. You're going to play a long time. You're going to be here a long time. But look, I'm going with the same lines. Just keep an eye out. Keep getting better. But you gotta learn to get some of that junior stuff out of your system. It was very cool seeing those two interact like that because he was giving some bad news to the guy. And Burakovsky did okay with it. But that was interesting.
Okay, so I found an article in the Washington Post that Trotz says that Andre is one of our best players when it comes to young guys in the organization. We have high expectations for him, which I agree. The thing is, according to the article by Alex Pruitt over at the Post, he says that Burakovsky would have missed at most 4 games. And they hung on to him because of their injury concerns. In case someone goes down, then they could play Burakovsky and wanting to have their best players. I get that, but if you look at him as 4 games, you know, you can call up Brown or somebody else that can come in and fill in. For a game or two, or even 4 games at most, and then he's back.
I guess after what happened to Orlov, because they're expecting, you know, he's missed how many games now? We talked about last week that he hasn't played in what more than 250 days of NHL hockey. So that's what they're probably worried about, going over there, getting injured, then losing a guy for almost a whole season.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That's probably it. So, anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Nope.
All right.
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, there's not much else going on right now. It's a little quiet. We got a couple of games coming up. I'm going to miss a bunch of games when I'm out of town. But they got to go on a nice little winning streak, moving up to the Winter Classic.
Yeah, Winter Classic's coming up in just a less than 2 weeks, maybe a little over.
Yeah,
little over 2 weeks.
What time is the game? 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock game. Yeah, so everyone's
gonna be 65 degrees.
Everyone's gonna be waking up from their hangover from the night before.
Yeah. No.
Oh, so okay. So this is pretty cool. It is 14 days from when we're recording this right now. That's when the Winter Classic is.
So 13 days from when you're listening.
Exactly.
Or 12 or 11 or whenever.
Whenever decide to listen.
Whenever people may listen.
All right. So now we're going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, farmer on the side, what is going on in Hershey and South Carolina?
Farmer on the side. That doesn't make
farmer
sense.
In the Dell. Maybe that's what I'll call you. Farmer in the Dan. Farmer in the Dan.
You stop what you're doing.
How'd you know I was dancing?
Just stop everything that you're doing. In the past week, Hershey went 1-1-1 with a win over Binghamton, but a loss to Syracuse and an overtime loss to Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears are currently second in the East Division with a record of 14-10-3, good for 31 points, 4 points behind first place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears play again on Friday in Lehigh Valley and then on Saturday at home in the Giant Center against Springfield. Now, in the ECHL, South Carolina went 2-0 with wins over Greenville and Gwinnett. The Stingrays are currently tied for fourth in the East Division with a record of 12-10-4, good for 28 points, 7 behind first place Florida. And so minor league news, Nathan Walker was recalled to Hershey after he was sent down to South Carolina last week. Walker played 2 games with the Stingrays, getting an assist in his first game and the game-winning goal in his second. This season with Hershey, the Aussie, who was actually born in Wales, I discovered. So he's both Welsh and Australian. That's random. He has gotten 1 goal and 3 assists in 23 games with Hershey this season. So I don't imagine, unless he picks up the offense exponentially, that he will be playing for the Caps anytime soon. But, yeah, that's what's going on the farm.
Let me ask you this real quick. We talked about this guy a lot in the past, Stan Galiev, however you say it.
Yeah.
I even heard his name. Joe B said it during a Caps game this past week. Do you think if somebody gets hurt, is there a chance that he comes up to the Capitals this season? Because I think he's gotten 8 goals in the last 8 games or something like that, like 8 points, 8 goals, something like that in the last 8 games. Is there a chance, since this guy's kind of flourishing now, that we might see him up with the Caps?
I'm currently trying to look up his stats, but my internet has apparently decided to take a nap. There we go. Okay, it's kind of loading. I mean, I think if they want someone that's offensively minded, like say someone. I mean, the thing is, like, if someone on the second line or first line goes down, they'll just plug in Burakovsky. But if they want someone that can come up and provide a little bit of offense, then I think Galiev is definitely going to be the guy. He's got 13 points in 20 games. He's got 9 goals and 4 assists. So he's doing well. He's what is it? They also have an opportunity. I mean, Tim Kennedy is leading the team in points, but he's only got 2 goals. Tim Kennedy has 24 assists and 26 points.
Wow.
He's the Nick Backstrom of the Hershey Bears. Then there's Chris Newberry, who's got 21 points. He's got 10 goals and 11 assists. And then Connor Carrick is third on the team in points with 4 goals and 12 assists, good for 16 points. And there's Casey Wellman, is 1 point ahead of Galiev. But I think if they want to bring up a young guy that can provide a little bit of offense, then Galiev might be the guy that they want to recall, provided that they're they think that he's ready to make that kind of a jump, because we saw how hard it was for him to make that jump from the ECHL to the AHL. And so maybe interesting. I think right now the guy they're going to recall if someone goes down is Chris Brown.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
But hey, if he goes on a hot streak and they need someone to call up, they might reward him, Galiev, that is, by giving him a recall.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. He was a part of the Reading Royals team that won their cup, the Kelly Cup. And so the guy's definitely working for it. And I think we're finally starting to see him come into his own in the U.S. So that's pretty cool to see. And I don't know if you saw this, but the Reading Royals had their official ugly sweaters this past weekend. I posted the picture on the What the Puck Facebook page and told Reading that we missed them. And they liked that. So
All I know is every time we talk about going down on the farm, I always expect you to say the Reading Royals.
Yeah.
It's just because we've done it for so long.
I have to catch myself sometimes. But South Carolina, I mean, they're so far away. That's why it's a little bit of a disconnect with us. But, we'll get used to it. They seem like a good club as well. So,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, so we're done with going down on the farm. Now, let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Coach Dan, tell us who's been suspended, who's been fined, and who has taken a dive.
There has it's interesting choice of words that you had there. let's start with up in Edmonton, which has been a dumpster fire this season, and apparently their GM has had enough as they fired head coach Dallas Eakins on Monday. He finishes part of two seasons with the Oilers with a record of 36-63-14. General manager Craig McTavish will take over as head coach while they transition their AHL head coach Todd Nelson into the interim role as their head coach for what would apparently be the remainder of the season. The Oilers just could not get anything going for them over the past long time now, aside from that one appearance in the Stanley Cup Finals, which they probably should have won and got kind of hosed. Calgary signed head coach Bob Hartley to a contract extension. Terms were not released. He's in his third season with the Flames and has a record of 71-79-13. Goalie Tomas Vokoun retired on Monday. He chose to retire after having continual problems with blood clots in his pelvis and surgeries. He played 700 games in 15 seasons with Montreal, Nashville, Florida, the Caps, and Pittsburgh. He finishes his career with a record of 300 wins, 288 losses, 35-57, with a 2.55 GAA and a .917 save percentage and 51 shutouts. New Jersey and forward Damian Brunner mutually agreed to terminate his contract last Friday, allowing him to sign with HC Lugano in Switzerland. He played, 3 years, I believe, in the NHL 2 with Detroit. Or is it 2 years with Detroit? And he was in his second year, I believe, with New Jersey or something like that. But he's off Switzerland. Dallas forward Ryan Garbutt, still with a funny name, was suspended for 3 games for slew-footing Winnipeg defenseman Dustin Byfuglien. How do you slew-foot Byfuglien? The guy weighs like 500 pounds. I don't know. Didn't we talk about him 2 weeks ago, by the way, Garbutt?
I think so. That sounds familiar.
He got suspended again. Apparently he's still a dummy. And then Minnesota defenseman Marco Scandella was suspended 2 games for an illegal check to the head. Here we go again. Of Islanders forward Brock Nelson. Didn't Scandella get suspended recently? Or was he or did someone else get suspended as a result of hitting him? I feel like both those names you talked about recently.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I don't know. So there's the suspensions you talked about. Here's the fine and the diving. Nashville's James Neal was fined $2,000 for diving / embellishment. His two penalties for being a cheater came on November 13th and December 13th. So on January 13th, James Neal, behave yourself. That's my suggestion. And finally, a judge has decided that there is enough evidence for LA defenseman Slava Voynov to stand trial on a felony domestic violence charge.
Ooh.
Voynov was suspended by the league indefinitely while the case is pending. And one last thing I want to touch on before we finish with this segment is the fugly jerseys that are the San Jose Sharks and the LA Kings Stadium Series ones. These things are so bad. I would rather wear the Caps Winter Classic than those jerseys. That's how bad they are.
After seeing the Sharks and the Kings jerseys, I will say, the greatest thing I've ever seen in the world. The Sharks is really bad. The LA one, at least the colors kind of go together a little bit. So they're both really bad.
They're all terrible.
Who else is playing in the Stadium Series? Because I can't wait to see how bad these turn out as well. Is New York playing again?
I have no idea. I am just waiting for them to be ugly.
Especially
nervous that the Caps have one because it might be another version of the Winter Classic one.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But if for those of you who haven't seen it, think about...
you know what the Caps one would be?
What's that?
Because the Stadium Series ones are not like vintage. It's not like, ooh, we're doing old school. It's like new and whatever. And so I'll bet it's going to be with the Weagle on the front.
Okay.
And it'll be... like some weird version of red or blue or something. That one actually might not be.
I bet you with the way the San Jose Sharks and the Kings, if they were doing it this year, with the way those jerseys look, it would look more like the U.S. soccer team jersey from this past year, where it kind of looked like a rocket.
That would be horrendous.
With a big weagle in the middle.
God, I didn't like that one either.
You didn't like the U.S. soccer jersey?
Not really. The white, all white one was fine, but the red, white, and blue one, I'm just not a fan. Not a fan.
And you were all about being, like, proper with your sports attire. Because, see, I liked...
man, I'll go with some that have some designs on them and stuff. I mean, those were just... it was just too weird.
I liked the soccer ones, the one that looked like one of those rocket pops that you used to eat as a kid. I kind of dug it. I thought it was different and new, so I was for it, but...
I don't know. I just never got into those.
The Stadium Series, though.
I like the Waldo ones they had, kind of.
Yeah, they were cool. I like those.
Those were not bad.
But I the Stadium Series last year, the jerseys were like they were trying to look metallic or whatever. Those weren't very good. I like the Islanders. The Islanders was my favorite one. Maybe it's just because I like the uglier the better. If you're gonna go ugly, go all the way is kind of my line of thinking here. But the San Jose Sharks definitely went full ugly because it's like teal on the top, their logo, a black band, and then like what, white at the bottom or black at the bottom. It's an odd combo. It's a very weird way of being like, hey, you guys should buy these. We're gonna wear these once.
They're the worst.
Yeah, not good. I don't know who designed these, but yeah. All right, so sorry. It's teal and then a white line and then black at the bottom. Very, very odd.
The ugly.
Yeah,
terrible.
Very odd jersey.
So go with the Stadium Series question you asked me before. At the moment, the Kings and Sharks is the only game they have scheduled, but it looks like there was a report that originally they wanted to hold 4 outdoor games, including the Winter Classic. The other sites they were looking at was Denver, Coors Field, Gillette Stadium in Massachusetts, Target Field in Minneapolis, Beaver Stadium at Pennsylvania State University. Huh. That would probably, I guess, be like what the Penguins and the Flyers. And then there was an as yet unnamed venue in Phoenix. Because
Phoenix,
we thought that LA was going to be a problem. Now they want to put an outdoor rink, ice rink, in Phoenix.
In the desert.
Words. I can't even think of words right
now. You just said words.
Words. Like, I don't even know which ones to use right now to express the weirdness that has become the NHL with these outdoor games. Just so odd. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it would be... Okay, imagine if it literally was like an ice rink in the middle of the desert. Like, it would be kind of cool, but so stupid.
I like to, in LA...
It's like when... Stadium Series game in Baltimore. Not this year.
I'm for that. But it was weird in LA where they had like it was Dodger Stadium and they had the Kings playing there, but they also had like a beach volleyball court on the side and everything. That
you're like what?
Yeah, that's quite odd. But man,
I'm pretty sure that at any sporting event would be weird.
Yeah. All right. So anything else we should cover for this show? We should wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up, man.
All right.
Long show.
Yeah. Bit of a long.
Let's go have dinner.
All right, so hey, if you want to continue to talk what the puck, any kind of puck or Washington Capitals hockey, make sure you tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan website devoted to the Washington Capitals. I had a new article finally. I got off my lazy you know what and wrote an article. Had it come out yesterday? Or no, Monday night. Monday night is when it came out, talking about the Capitals and any players that have to move up. We actually got to cover the entire article in this one episode. But yeah, go give it a read. It's kind of fun. And they can also go to Capitals Outsider for any information about Washington Capitals and their affiliates, Bobbleheads.
Yeah, where's my Slapshot Bobblehead? I need information about this thing for December, man.
I think it has to come out first.
It's out. It's monthly. These things are monthly. Oh.
I don't know.
It's been out for 17 days, and I still got no information on it. Come on, guys.
You can go talk to Ben over at – actually, I don't even know if he's the one that's running it. I have no idea. But the point is, check out CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
So go to BrandoCash.com. You get information about this show, all the other shows Brando Cash Entertainment puts on, as well as photos and video, giving you guys as much entertainment as we can. Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You can also go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, and you'll get information about this show whenever a new show comes out. Tweet to us as well at WTP_Podcast. So you'll get all the information right when it comes out, man. How cool is that? that. This show is done completely for free. You guys can download, stream, listen to it, whatever you want to do on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. If you want to listen to old shows, maybe lockout shows, maybe playoff shows, go to whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com.
If you want to relive the depressing days.
Yeah. If you want to listen to our very first show, you can do that as well. That's where you can do it. So coming up within the next week, we have Thursday, December 18th. The Capitals are up against the Blue Jackets once again. That game is at 7 o'clock and will be on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Saturday, December 20th, the Capitals will be going up against the Devils in New Jersey. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Monday, December 22nd, the Capitals are back in D.C., welcoming the Ottawa Senators to town. That game is at 7 o'clock, and if you're not going to be there, Comcast Sportsnet would be the place to check it out. And then on Tuesday, December 23rd, the Capitals are back on the road up against the Rangers. That game is at 7 o'clock on Comcast Sportsnet. And then we got the Christmas season. The Christmas holiday is coming up, and they take a break until the 27th. So we'll be back next week. Coach Dan, he's going to enjoy the holiday. I'll be back doing a little solo recap show of the last couple games, so make sure you guys stick with us throughout the holiday season. Happy Hanukkah to anybody out there that is celebrating Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah, and hope you guys are having a good holiday. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. The Capitals coming off a 20-round shootout, guys. Let's hope that doesn't happen again. Let's have the real kind of history. Let's have an actual the Ovechkin trick happen. That's the kind of history I want to see. I want to see 9 Ovechkin goals in one game. So let's continue this trend. Let's keep winning games. All right, boys, say it with me. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Goalie Thomas. Let me do that again. That was bad.
What? Oh, okay. There we are. And then on